Serial Entrepreneur.
Hello and welcome again to the Serial Entrepreneur podcast. As always, I'm your host for today and I am joined by the lovely Joshua Renouf, founder of Joy Resolve, the award-winning homeware and lifestyle brand. Josh, how are you today? Thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me. It's an honour.
Amazing. Well, it's so good to have you guys on and I'm so excited to share with our audience a bit more about what you guys do and your journey. But first question is first, as it is called the Serial Entrepreneur Podcast, we do have to ask everyone, what is your favourite breakfast cereal and why?
Favourite breakfast cereal? Oh, wow. Wasn't prepared for this one. I actually think Cocoa Puffs. I'm quite a... Despite the naughtiness within them, they're simple and delicious.
They are an elite cereal and I love it when people tell me, like, honestly, they're their favourite cereal rather than like granola or bran flakes. I'm like, that is no one's favourite.
Yeah, Cocoa Pops for sure.
Cocoa Pops, definitely my favourite as well. Well, now we know about your favourite cereal, let's find out a little bit more about you. Tell me a little bit more about yourself and your kind of like journey to start with.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I was originally born in Jersey, Channel Islands. Moved to kind of the UK when I studied product design at Nottingham Trent. I'm in like 2009. I was there for like 4 years. One of my kind of major projects for final year was to design what I now do now, which is which was the Barista, which is a coffee and tea brewing alarm clock. And yeah, upon graduation, I made an online portfolio and a website, put this product out online, and it was featured in kind of like High Snobiety, Forbes, Hypebeast, and it kind of proceeded to go viral. And the website gained around, you know, 250,000 views in a week and had around 50 to 100 emails a day asking for this product. So I made the conscious decision to look at, one, I try and crowdfund this product. And so this kind of propelled me into the startup world where I was working with a team in the UK to develop the product. I was accepted onto like Virgin Startup to create a kind of business plan. And that's kind of, you have access to funding there as well. And I met some kind of integral friends and kind of future colleagues along the way. And they kind of forced me to quit my part-time jobs and kind of come work for them. They're also like a hardware company. And whilst they helped me develop my product because they had kind of experience in China and manufacturing. And then I ended up launching the Barista on crowdfunding 2 years after graduating, and we raised around $500,000. And then the journey since then has been pretty spicy, but we can get into that a bit later on. And then, fast forward to now, and I'm CEO of the company called Joy Resolve, as you said, and we're a team of seven based in London Fields.
Amazing. And so, yeah, I have a million questions and I want to find out, obviously, more about the journey and Joy Resolve. But my first question is, why the Barista? Like, what was it at uni that made you want to design the Barista?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite an interesting one. I mean, I wanted to kind of throw all my energy into my final year project at university and really try and get you know, as much benefit out of, you know, investing so much time in a project which you don't normally have, and just kind of had fun with it. You know, obviously as a university student, late teens, early 20s, probably even more so now, but you can all appreciate, you know, those mornings when you're not feeling motivated and you just want to snooze. So I thought, how can we create something that, you know, you want to wake up to whilst also researching the importance of like a nightly ritual, you know, getting ready for the evening, but yeah, and also having something to, you know, be proud to display and use on your bedside table. So yeah, I wanted to wake up to a coffee in the morning. Obviously you've got the teas maze, that's also a thing. We wanted to do it with coffee as well. And the Barista was also kind of initially inspired by vinyl record players as well. I just love how they kind of encourage the use of them with the kind of tactility. And I also love the magic of, you know, you put a pin on a piece of plastic and it turns into music, and I wanted to create something with a similar magic. And so, yeah, the Barista was born.
So talk me through every step of the Barista, because it sounds like there's a lot. So it's a coffee machine and an alarm clock.
Exactly, yeah. So you can have it on your bedside table. So you just fill up the boiling vessel, you put the bung in, which has we call it a transport tube, and it uses induction, and the water boils and the steam just pushes the water out and into the coffee or the tea, and then you have your coffee or tea. And then there's also a mini fridge for your milk, so it kind of keeps your milk fresh, and you can just pour it in the morning. And then you've got a drawer which has like your coffee or your tea. It keeps up to like a week's worth of coffee and tea in it. And yeah, some people use it in their kitchen or their living room. It's quite like a kind of Scandi inspired in terms of its design. So yeah.
I was going to say, I've obviously been on your website and seen some images. It's a statement in itself, isn't it? Like when you said living room, I was like, what? But it is kind of like a piece that people would have, even if they didn't necessarily want to drink the coffee or necessarily want to use the alarm clock. It's very aesthetically pleasing.
Thank you.
Obviously it's tea and coffee. Was the coffee, were you a big coffee drinker? Like why, what made you want to combine the coffee with the alarm clock, with the kind of like statement beautiful piece?
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, it does coffee and tea. We have to obviously cater to the Brits. But yeah, I think it was important, basically, you know, with all the research that I was doing, it's been kind of scientifically proven that the best way to wake up is to stimulate all five senses. So, you know, you've got the sound of the water bubbling, you've got the smell of the beautiful aroma of the coffee or the tea brewing, then you can kind of see the process in front of your eyes. And then obviously, you know, you can feel the warmth of the cup in your hands, and then of course taste the fresh brew. So you're kind of, you know, you're waking up and you can kind of have a bit of time to yourself in the morning instead of kind of like frantically kind of thrashing around, jumping in the shower and, you know, not starting your day off, you know, to the best. And, you know, obviously sometimes if you're more relaxed as you kind of start the day, that kind of helps with the day ahead.
I think it's incredible. Like, I love it. I was like, it's probably one of the craziest but best ideas I think I've ever heard.
It's quite bougie.
I love it because I think so many people would probably think, why would you have that on your bedside table? But then once they like thought about it like properly or experienced it themselves, they're like, honestly, this is genius. Because like you say, you want a cup of coffee in the morning. It's like there next to you helping you wake up. It is like perfect. So yeah, I was so impressed. Obviously, you said you are now part of Joy Resolve, the company. Yeah. You and seven others, or seven of you in total. Talk me through the business and the company and how that works and what you guys do.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously we started off with one product, and you know, I'm a product designer, so I get my passion from coming up with new ideas. And so, you know, we try to create more than just one product. So we look at what do people really like about that, and how can we transfer that to more products that we're bringing out. So we are basically like a, you know, a hardware kind of company, a lifestyle brand. Our goal is to kind of, we say, to like enrich through tangible solutions without causing unnecessary harm to nature. So I guess, like, what do I mean by this? That, you know, we want to improve people's lives, you know, and bring them joy through, whether that's, you know, having an enjoyable experience waking up, to you know, making sure that we're conscious of the materials that we're using to produce the products, but also looking at the life cycle of our products. So if there's any kind of faultiness that happens within the product, that, you know, making sure that we can fix that due to the kind of modularity of our products to kind of extend that lifestyle and kind of close the loop. And so we're looking to be more kind of circular in our approach, which yeah, is not a big thing in the tech world, but I think, you know, obviously a lot of people are trying to move that way, which is really important.
Definitely. So, for example, if you'd sold a barista and one it wasn't working for whatever reason, you're not the sort of company that would just send a replacement. You try and kind of, you know, fix that one instead of just saying, oh, we'll bin that one and that was a faulty product. You're more about less wastage. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because our products are so modular, you know, we can ship you out a new base instead of shipping you a whole new product, and then we'll take that base back. We'll either fix it, and then we can use that as, you know, display units in store, or we can use that as B stock for new customers that want to get, you know, maybe a reduced price. But also if we can't fix the fault, we will kind of responsibly recycle it with our local partners, because, you know, e-waste is quite a big problem at the moment. So we just want to make sure that we're conscious of that. And I think being quite a young company at the moment, you know, we can do that whilst, you know, we've got all these processes in place. So it's just building those processes from the ground up.
Definitely. And you said obviously you started with one product and now it's kind of moved on from that. Talk me through some of the products that you now also sell. And did I read that you also do a coffee subscription? Is that to go with the barista?
Yeah, so we've done quite a few things in the past that might not have worked. So after that, I was looking at kind of the waste of like coffee, and we actually did a coffee table made from coffee waste. But it took quite a lot of time actually to create the material with a company we were working with, and so we moved over to like, you know, making our products more modular. So we've got a wireless charger that plugs into the back of the barista through the USB port, which is made out of recycled aluminium and sustainably sourced wood. So you can just, you know, charge your phone overnight wirelessly. And then we've got a new product called the Manual Brewer, which is a lower tiered product. And it's basically just, kind of as it says on the tin, it's a manual brewer. So you can brew 1 to 2 cups of loose leaf tea or immersion style coffee in the kitchen. But then you can also use the same, we call it the brew chamber, which is what the strainer sits in. You can use that with the barista and swap them around. So yeah, that's kind of what we've got at the moment, but we're working on a lot of other stuff in the background.
Oh wow. And the products that you kind of, you know, you've already started developing and adding to your list and the ones that are to come in the future, are these ideas that you guys have, or do sometimes customers come and say, oh, you know, we could do with this as well? Like, do you take kind of like requests from people?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think that's the beauty of kind of today. Like, we can be so connected to our kind of community, so we'll see feedback on our comments being like, oh, if only it did 2 cups. And so we're now doing a 2 cup version that we're going to be launching soon, which is just has like a dual spout that goes into 2 cups. And we also, in America, they're used to larger servings, and so we have people saying, oh, this is a tiny cup, can we have, where's the bigger cup, kind of thing. So we've also doing the same product but larger serving, and then we're also doing a jug version, so you can have it in your office or in your kitchen, and so, but still using the same base, so just trying to be as modular as we can with that.
And obviously just then you mentioned the US. Have you already got customers from all over, or at least from obviously a few different continents?
Yeah, so I think that was also the beauty of crowdfunding. So when we crowdfund, like, obviously it's open to the whole world. And so, but your majority of our market on Kickstarter, for example, is predominantly USA. So you immediately kind of see where you're getting the most love from. And but also you immediately start selling to those countries. So yeah, we've got a warehouse in Hong Kong, USA, Germany, UK, and the Middle East is really big for us at the moment as well. So yeah, but USA was, you know, we start off really well with the crowdfunding, but then it takes a lot of time to kind of get into the retail side of things. But yeah, it's all very exciting on that side.
Amazing. And obviously one of your guys' biggest selling points is that you use, I don't remember your tagline exactly, but you use like materials that are good for nature, and obviously sustainability is a key part of you being part of like the circular economy and that. So can you talk me through some of the materials that you do use and where you get them from? Or
yeah, of course. I mean, so, you know, as a kind of product business, we have a huge responsibility to be as sustainable as we can. But I think, you know, we're super aware of the word sustainable. You know, it's being thrown around quite well, it's irresponsibly, you know, for the sake of like marketing and sales. And so, you know, sustainable manufacturing is an oxymoron, as it's like effectively taking from the earth and then, you know, you're producing, which, you know, takes energy. So we're super conscious of that, and we're trying to not, you know, pretend to be this like, you know, holy grail of like a tech company that's, you know, has zero footprint kind of thing. But so that's why we're really kind of focusing on the circular economy and making sure that, you know, we're not just creating waste that's just going to go into landfill. They're going to be timeless kind of products that stand the test of time. But yeah, in terms of the materials that we use, we have borosilicate glass, which is durable. We use stainless steel for our filters, so they can be washed and reused instead of those kind of paper filters. ABS plastic, which is, you know, easily recyclable. And then the wood that we get is FSC certified, which is kind of sustainably sourced and means that any trees that are kind of cut down to use, they're replanted. And then in terms of our packaging, actually, at the moment, we're working on replacing our current protective pearl foam, which isn't good for the environment, with foam derived from mushrooms. So, yeah, so it can be, you know, so it could decompose, and our packaging could be 100% kind of recyclable. So, you know, we're not perfect, but we're really working on those things. But yeah, so there's a lot going on.
Is that something that's always kind of been a passion, or something that's like close to your heart? So, you know, even back at university when you were designing the barista, have you always, you know, been I don't want to say into sustainability, because like you say, we throw that word around a lot, but like have you always thought about like repercussions and products and what it's doing to the planet and stuff?
Yeah, big time. I think I've just like, I don't know, I've always had some issue with waste, and like to the point where my girlfriend would be like, oh, this yogurt, you know, it's a day off. And I'd be like, no, I eat it. You know, I don't want people throwing it away, to the point where it's a bit mental. But yeah, so I've always, you know, and going back to that, the product that we tried before where, you know, it was a coffee table made from coffee waste, you know, even when, you know, you'd be going in to get your coffee from, you know, the local coffee roaster, and then they pour the espresso and then they just bang all that coffee grounds into like a bin. And what I was like, well, I wonder where that's all going and how can we reuse that and repurpose it? And so I've always had that kind of need to see how we can, you know, instead of taking stuff from the earth, repurpose all the stuff that we're already using. And yeah, but, you know, it takes, I think, being able to set those processes up, like it's super expensive, and it's just, you know, a constant battle, because obviously the reason why things are so cheap in terms of, you know, plastic production and stuff like that, because we're already set up to be able to produce it and, you know, mold it and scale it up in that sense. So we're just trying to kind of shift it a bit.
Yeah, no, definitely. And a side question just before we move on, how much coffee waste did it take you to create a whole coffee table?
How much coffee wastage? Oh, to create one coffee table, I think, was it 1 ton? It was basically, we're working with a company called Smart Plastics that we're creating sheets out of it. So it was 1 meter by 2 meters, and we would create tables out of that and do coffee coasters and stuff like that. But there was such a high kind of fail rate with the material that it created a lot of faults in it. So we just had to reuse the material. So it wasn't like scalable, but we've got a few coffee tables, which is quite good. But that's going to, I think, we'll do that later on, at a later point when it's a bit more easy to produce. But I think about 1 ton.
Oh, wow.
Up to around that, yeah.
That's incredible.
If you are a new service-based female entrepreneur looking to get some insight into the strategies and the steps that you can take to set your business up for success without all the confusion and the overwhelm, then the Female Startup Podcast is for you. Hosted by Lucille Roach, a business startup coach, author, and public speaker, new episodes are released weekly covering topics such as mindset, self-care, finances, and strategies that will help you and your business to grow. So if you're looking for the tools and the knowledge to help you to navigate your business, attract clients, leave your 9-to-5 and build a legacy, then check out the Female Startup Podcast, available on iTunes and Spotify now.
And, you know, you've kind of touched on this, and, you know, we've said how important it is that we all start making an effort, and you guys as a business are doing a lot. It is clear to see. But how do you think that we can encourage more people to be more sustainable and conscious of their actions? And how can other businesses actually encourage more people to be more sustainable and conscious?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I guess we can always do more, right? And I think it just comes down to kind of education, really. And, you know, we've got loads more to do. And even, you know, as individuals, like, there's so much more that we know about, like, I guess it can come down to how we discard as much as how much we can, you know, how we consume and changing those kind of behaviours. So, you know, even when it comes like down to recycling, a lot of people just throw away dirty plastic containers, and, you know, I guess I'm guilty as well, but only specific plastics can be recycled. And do people know that, you know, you have to clean them before you put them in recycling? You know, the more that we understand about this, you know, obviously the better. So, and even when it comes down to e-waste, I think there's only, you know, 17% of electronic goods get kind of recycled. So it's about, you know, where are your local recycling kind of plants that you can take in your, you know, your faulty projectors to get, you know, get recycled responsibly. But, you know, as a business, I think that, you know, a lot of our plans moving forward, now that we're fully set up, is to educate, you know, through kind of showing the processes and being a bit more transparent with, you know, how we manufacture and where we get our things from. So, because, you know, not many people understand the manufacturing world either. You know, it's such a different world. And so the more that we can kind of use our platforms to educate the consumers, I think the easier it will be for consumers to know what to consume and what not to consume. And so that's, you know, that's how we're going to try and do that moving forward.
Definitely, definitely. And I mean, forgive me if I'm wrong here, but I am going to assume that there isn't many direct competitors in the sense of having a coffee maker and an alarm clock product out there. I mean, I could be wrong, but I assume there are other businesses in the startup world that are trying to create products that come from sustainable materials and are, you know, recyclable. So do you find that this space is quite competitive, or are all of you guys kind of, you know, helping each other as it's kind of doing good for the environment and it's got this, like, feel good to it?
Yeah, I think it is probably going to become a lot more competitive, for sure. I mean, because that's going to then be the reasons why people then start using, you know, you instead of other kind of competitors. If your main kind of purpose is to kind of be as sustainable and as circular as possible. In terms of the space that I'm in, I mean, I actually work from a WeWork, so it's quite good because there's lots of kind of entrepreneurial people here and lots of kind of hardware startups, so we always help in just the general kind of logistical senses of things. But in terms of sustainable brands and circular brands, I think I can definitely see an influx of that. I mean, we were just recently got to the final for Amazon Launchpad Startup of the Year awards, and the people who won it, a lot of them were massive, you know, big sustainable startup brands. And so, yeah, but I think that's a good thing, right? It's only you want that competition because we want to push ourselves to do better.
Yeah, I agree. And do you find ways to differentiate yourselves and think outside the box? I mean, obviously the first product is, and creating a coffee table made from coffee waste is another incredible example, but do you try and think of things that are different and different to what other people are doing?
For sure. I mean, we're always trying to do things differently or more authentically and I guess be reinventive in us in the products that we launch. Like, when it comes down to like the functionality of a product, you know, this always governs the form of the product and the aesthetic. And we look to try and expose like the processes and have a bit more fun, be a bit more playful with it. We also try and be a lot more modular, so these products can work with the existing products. And then, you know, when it comes down to repair, they're easily repairable. And we want to get to the point where we're closing the life cycle of that you know, functionality, we want to be able to do more with what we're doing. So can it be multifunctional? And then, yeah, our products are normally quite, I would like to say beautiful, but that might be biased. But, you know, we want to be able to display that. We want our customers to be proud to display, you know, their products and be proud of it. And then, yeah, having a bit of a narrative towards our products. So, like, where's the materials from, and being more educational on that. You know, because it'd be good to kind of share that with friends and family and have a bit more of a kind of a talking point.
Yeah. And I think it is good that we are seeing more businesses take this route and making more conscious decisions. I think as the younger generation grows up, it's going to be an increasingly popular movement, and we are seeing more and more in this in the younger people. Not to say that the older generation obviously are not bothered. It's kind of more of a generational thing, isn't it? And so, Josh, what would you say some of your biggest challenges have been on your entrepreneurial journey?
Biggest challenges? I mean, how long have you got? It's been one big challenge. I guess the biggest, most stressful part of the journey so far was definitely back in 2017, where there was a lot of doubt about being able to get the product to market due to the kind of complexity of it. And, you know, obviously doing that without a team, it was mainly just me. You know, I had friends and family, my dad helped at times, you know, with contracts and stuff like that. And then just generally just getting products to market, there's always delays, everything costs so much more than you kind of initially budget for. But obviously the more that we do, the more that we understand that process. Obviously COVID's been closing all our retail stores last year, but, you know, really helped with our online and our e-commerce there. And then obviously with logistics, there's been a massive increase in pricing with freight forwarding. There's huge delays at ports. and it's damaging to small businesses. Like, for example, last year they closed the Channel Tunnel as well due to kind of Brexit just before kind of Christmas, which meant that there was a huge backlog in people getting their products, which I think added like an extra month to 2 months of people getting things because there was just such a backlog. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely been all fun and games, and then, it's I wouldn't change it because it's just been such a fun journey.
And so then that leads me to say, well, what is next for Joy Resolved, Barista Josh? What does the future hold for you?
What is next for us? Well, like I said before, we're extending our current barista so that you can use it to brew two cups or a jug or a larger serving for our friends in the US. So, one product can be used in multiple ways. We're super excited about this, and we'll be hopefully launching this on Kickstarter soon. Like I said, we've also been nominated as a finalist for Amazon Launchpad Startup of the Year Award. So Amazon have actually approached us to see if we could be interested in integrating Alexa into our products. So there's a conversation there as well. I'm not sure if the I do quite like it not being that techie, because I think it's quite I quite like the kind of tangibility of it and not having to be on your phone for doing that kind of stuff. But we'll see. We're also working on, products behind the scene, like a coffee bean grinder. We're looking at potentially doing an espresso machine and a toaster, but it's kind of long term. And then, yeah, just some small accessories in parallel to that as well. But yeah, and then we're also working with Climate Partner to become carbon neutral slash negative by the end of next year. So there's a lot of stuff having to go on there. But yeah, there's lots of stuff.
That is incredible. So does that mean that not only will you have your coffee right next to you in the morning, but you can also actually say, Alexa, make me my coffee?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how lazy can we get? But we do actually have, like, we have some customers that kind of rig it up, and so we've got one guy in the US that I think is a software engineer or something, and he's already done it. He's already linked it to his Alexa and shown that it can be done. So we have loads of people just reaching out to us and inspiring us and stuff like that. So yeah, it can be done.
That really is incredible. It is amazing to see, and I am literally in awe of your product and what you have created. So I'm off to order my barista now and some coffee from you. But I would like to thank you so much for being our guest today, Josh. You have been amazing.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Serial entrepreneur.